This is poetry from Studio 47. Welcome. Today's poet is William Shakespeare. Shakespeare was born, we think, on April 23rd in Stratford-upon-Avon, England. At this time, one-third of children died in their first year of birth, so he was lucky to live. His father was John Shakespeare, a Catholic. He was a glove maker, he made a good salary, and he was once mayor of Stratford-upon-Avon. He also secretly practiced the old religion of Catholicism. England in Shakespeare's age was solidly Protestant. Young William went to Stratford Grammar School. He received a classical education, and his headmasters didn't make a note about his genius. He seemed to be an average student. When he was 18, he married Anne Hathaway, who was 26 at the time. The couple had twins, Hamnet and Judith, on February 2, 1585. England's chief means of business at this time was agriculture. English identity was on the rise during Shakespeare's life. Spain, and therefore Catholicism, was defeated in 1588 when the Royal Navy destroyed the Armada. England controlled the seas, and many at the time saw this as a divine statement from God that Protestantism was correct. London was a city of 200,000 people. You could see the heads of the executed on London Bridge. The streets were open sewers, and there were over 100 churches dotted across the city. Actors had more freedom than most citizens. For one, they could travel. Boys played female parts because women were not allowed to be actors. There were three theaters when Shakespeare arrived into London: the Globe, the Swan, and the Rose. Shakespeare arrived into London to make a name for himself in 1588. His first play, Henry V, pulled in 2,000 people a day for 10 straight days. That's 20,000 people, or roughly one-tenth of London at the time. Put another way, Shakespeare was an overnight success. In the late 1500s, playwrights yielded enormous influence on public opinion. The religious right in England wanted to shut the theaters down for immorality. They weren't talking about God, you see. They were talking about love. There were government monitors at plays out of fear of sedition. Most of Shakespeare's plays were performed at the Globe. It was an outdoor theater. You paid your ticket fee when you exited rather than when you entered. There were no toilets in the Globe, so what do you think happened if you needed to use the restroom? Would you pay to exit and enter again? Probably not. Like most theatergoers, you'd probably use the stairway as a toilet. There were seats in the upper decks of the Globe, and there was a large open area right before the stage. This is where the groundlings stood. They were also known as stinkards, which is a combination of stink and yard. Most stinkards urinated where they stood. After all, why fight your way through 1,000 people, pay to exit, and then come back in? People often brought food with them. Oranges were popular, because after you finished eating, at least the orange, you could use the peel as a nose rag. Perhaps not surprisingly, in 1613, Shakespeare and some of his friends bought a theater of their own in Blackfriars. It was a bit more upmarket. It was also an indoor theater, which was something of a novelty back then. This meant plays could happen year-round. There was no need to worry about rain or snow or seagulls flying overhead, if you catch my drift. Shakespeare returned to Yorkshire in 1615 to retire, and he died 1 year later in 1616. Shakespeare, as I'm sure you know, had an overwhelming influence on the English language. Still to this day, many of the phrases we use come from him. Here are just some examples of the phrases that came from his pen. It's Greek to me. You can recall your salad days, or act more in sorrow than in anger. You can vanish into thin air, or refuse to budge an inch. You can play fast and loose. You can suffer from green-eyed jealousy, or be tongue-tied, or be a tower of strength, or be hoodwinked, or in a pickle. You can knit your brows together, insist on fair play. If you can't sleep, you might say, I couldn't sleep a wink. Maybe you stand on ceremony, or make virtue of necessity, or give something short shrift, or maybe you offer cold comfort. Thanks to Shakespeare, we worry that we have seen better days, or that we might get too much of a good thing, or, as luck would have it, we live in a fool's paradise. We can suspect foul play. We can talk about something without rhyme or reason. We can give the devil his due. We can say, if the truth be known. We can insult someone by asking if they have a tongue in their head. We can bid someone good riddance or send them packing. We can even wish them to be as dead as a doornail, or call them an eyesore, or say they are a laughingstock, or maybe they are the devil incarnate, or some bloody-minded idiot. What the dickens, for goodness sake, it's impossible for me to imagine English without Shakespeare. I should also add that one of the curiosities of his plays is simply this. If a character appears in the title, that character will definitely die. Just think about it. Hamlet, Othello, Julius Caesar, King Lear, Macbeth, Romeo and Juliet. Ironically, Shakespeare never saw his plays published in his lifetime. That was done posthumously. During his lifetime, he didn't think his plays would give him lasting fame, or very much fame. He thought it would be his poems, more specifically his sonnets, that would bring him fame. Which allows me to say this. Today's poem is Sonnet 130. Although we're not exactly sure when this was written, we do know it was published in 1609. A plague hit London that year, and as a result, all of the theaters were closed. In this poem, in this sonnet, Shakespeare takes on Petrarch, who was an Italian sonneteer. When Petrarch wrote about love, he often elevated his mistress, making her seem godlike and unattainable. She is divinely beautiful and seems less human. Shakespeare dismantles this elevating. The narrator of Sonnet 130 loves his mistress, but she's not godlike, she's not perfect, and yet he loves her just the same. He loves her in spite of her faults. This is Sonnet 130 by William Shakespeare. My mistress' eyes are nothing like the sun. Coral is far more red than her lips red. If snow be white, why then her breasts are dun. If hairs be wires, black wires grow on her head. I have seen roses damasked, red and white, but no such roses see I in her cheeks. And in some perfumes is there more delight than in the breath that from my mistress reeks. I love to hear her speak, yet well I know that music hath a far more pleasing sound. I grant I never saw a goddess go. My mistress, when she walks, treads on the ground. And yet, by heaven, I think my love as rare as any she belied with false compare.
Poetry from Studio 47 is hosted and curated by Patrick Hicks. This episode was recorded remotely due to the coronavirus pandemic and produced by Peter Folliard. We both send our best wishes. Thank you for listening.